Let's just pray for Kathy. Lord God, we pray your blessing on Kathy as she speaks to us and on our hearts as we receive the word you have to say to us. And Lord, that our eyes and our hearts and our minds would be open to the wonder of your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Nurturing soul prosperity. Now, would you say you're here in spirit, soul, and body? Yes? You're here in a body. I can see plenty of bodies around here, all in good working order, apart from a few of us like me that have got a couple of artificial parts in the hips and a nice new plastic lens in my right eye that makes me see better. Praise God. But we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? That's our body. Our spirit gives us the ability to have a relationship with God, the part of humanity that connects with God, who himself, of course, is spirit. John 4:24 says that. And before we knew God personally, we had a God-shaped vacuum, but then he came and filled us with himself by his spirit. Now the soul, in its most basic sense, the word soul means life. And it's the centre of many of our spiritual and emotional experiences. The soul and spirit are connected, but they're also separable. I've got a chart there you can have a look at. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword, and it pierces to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow." The soul is the essence of humanity's being. It's who we are, our personality, and made up of mind, will, and emotions. It feeds into the spirit, which is the aspect of humanity, again, that connects with God and how we receive revelation from God, from his spirit to our spirit. I love that scripture that Joyce read today from 3 John. "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." So we're looking at the soul today and seeing how we can nurture it, keep it in good shape, how it can help lead our spirit into our communication with God. And I chose this translation specifically because of that word prosper. Often we avoid it because we think of connotations with material wealth. Nothing wrong with that, or prosperity doctrine, but look at its dictionary meaning. It means to succeed in an enterprise or activity, to become strong and flourishing. I want to be strong and flourishing, don't you? So scripture's talking about the body becoming strong and flourishing, even as our soul is prospering. So we see a relationship between the two again, body and soul. Now, is your soul ever downcast?
Yes.
Disturbed? Lacking hope? How is the soul nurtured in the Bible? Let's have a look. Psalm 43:5 says, "King David spoke to his soul, and he asked the question, 'Why, soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.'" He asked God to send him his light and truth to guide him. Then he praised him with his harp. Music was very important in the Bible. It enchanted the royal court, enlivened weddings and family gatherings. It provided atmosphere and entertained through the grain and grape harvests. It was known to elevate the mind and make prophets spiritually receptive. And it was at the sound of a stringed instrument that Elisha found divine inspiration. As a young man, David played the harp so beautifully that he was recommended to Saul the king, who took him into his service. When Saul was seized with anguish and mental agitation, David came to him and produced on his harp such beautiful, melodious and restful refrains that calmed the heart of the king. The dark thoughts that haunted Saul vanished and his agitation left him. A study was conducted I read, to track patients' ratings of their own anxiety before going into surgery. They were randomly assigned to have either a pill or listen to music. And the outcome was that the patients who listened to music were far less anxious than those who took pills. And who hasn't sung their child off to sleep when distressed? And our church music here, after thinking today, how lovely, it creates a worshipful atmosphere to help our spirits engage with God's spirit. Soul prosperity must be the greatest blessing this side of heaven. Grace and health are rich companions, and sometimes a rich soul may be lodged in a weak body, but grace must then be exercised, more grace, and we wish and pray that those who have prosperous souls may have healthful bodies. What else does the Bible say? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Are we generous with our smiles? I saw someone come out of here this morning at the morning service with a little bunch of flowers and a rose that somebody had given her, and she said it absolutely lifted her. She needed it at that time. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah. Now, in normal circumstances, all our family has pretty good senses of humour. We can laugh at ourselves, and whenever we get together, we get hysterical over those inane family jokes that I'm sure you have, and we watch these silly programmes on TV, we watch Faulty Towers, and we go into absolute hysterics over Basil and Sybil and Miranda, I'd have to say. But laughter revitalises us as a family. Now, David, some of you will know, some of you don't. He's always been an inveterate, practical joker. He loves nothing better than playing tricks on people, so beware. I wish more people would play a few tricks on him. But he keeps our 7 grandchildren and others transfixed either with jokes or sleight of hand. He's amazing at that. He makes objects disappear and then sort of produces them from people's ears. And over the years, we've had many people staying with us who've had their own souls nurtured through laughter in the house, whether taking time out from pastoring churches, family, or recovering illnesses, or just people on holiday. However, on the 24th of August, David and I had an incident where all our joy evaporated. The phone rang. And David embarked on a long, difficult, and at times acrimonious conversation with a business colleague. When it finally finished, he came out to the kitchen, visibly upset. But he spun around a few times in the kitchen, and I said, hey, stop joking. And then he fell unconscious on the floor. Seized with panic, I tried to revive him, unsuccessfully, spoke to him, and in the end, I rang 111 for the ambulance. The operator kept me on the phone until the ambulance arrived, monitoring his breathing, colour and movement. What wonderful people. This was continued by the St John staff. We're so blessed having these people in Picton. And while I was saying, "Help us, Jesus, help us," until he regained consciousness, and then off we all went into hospital. Despite that horrible scenario, I knew God's presence, that he was in control. And doesn't he say, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you"? But I was still very, very shaken and panicky. Some hours later, after numerous tests, a CT scan and interviews and some instruction by the hospital physician, we had the instruction that he would not be able to drive for a year. And we returned home very despondent. An MRI scan was planned for the following month, which would give us the cause of the incident in finer detail. But we both had this awful feeling of foreboding that the landscape of our lives was changed forever. Over the weeks that followed, many people were praying for us. And a pastor friend and his wife were actually staying with us a couple of days later, and gave us that wise word that Joyce read today. Beloved, I wish and pray above all things that you may prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. At that time, I had some tickets for the NZSO, and I said, oh, I don't think I'll bother going to that. Well, for us, for the two of us, I don't think we'll bother going. We were feeling so dumb, no. But I praise God. They both instructed us and encouraged us to go. And I'm so glad we did, because listening to that beautiful classical music actually started to nurture our souls again. I was so right. And also the same week I went to South Pacific, and I just loved it, just reliving that old, gorgeous, romantic story, all those songs, and the wonderful acting, the accompaniment, superb choreography. It just did something for my soul. And then last month, the specialist gave us the good news that David had a faint, caused by low blood pressure, exacerbated by shallow breathing during his tense conversation. There was absolutely nothing on the MRI scan, and he could drive again. Yay! All our prayers were answered. Oh, the relief. And gradually our joy, of course, has returned. But we've both become more conscious of nurturing or fulfilling our souls and tapping into God's creativity to do that. Because God is the creator of the universe, and we are made in his image. Now, how do you and I build God's creativity in our lives in ways that nurture our souls? My niece Nikki, for whom we are always praying, has got terminal cancer, and it's inoperable. She's only 50. She's lost her hair twice to chemotherapy. She's bald at the moment, and she's in considerable discomfort and pain. She was staying with us just recently, and she spent hours colouring in, creating beautiful patterns and vibrant colours. She told us that she gets amazing pleasure just from the concentrating on the picture and the colours, and she can block out and forget the pain and her condition for about 1 to 2 hours. I believe it's quite, colouring books have come in, they're quite fashionable. And then only last Saturday, I was with our daughter Stephanie over in Nelson at St. Stephen's Church while they were having a refresh day for women. And she was playing the piano all day. And at the end of the day, I said to her, oh, darling, you must be feeling really tired, aren't you? She said, no, Mum, I just get lost in the music. It really refreshes and restores me. What does Psalm 23 say? The Lord is my shepherd, relationship. I shall not want, supply. He makes me down to lie in green pastures, that's rest. He leadeth me beside still waters, refreshment. He restores my soul, that's healing. God leads us, doesn't he? But we need to drink the water that he provides. What does it do for you? An absorbing hobby, spending a few hours fishing. I know Richard loves tramping, and Neil said before he loved walking in nature. Perhaps taking it in an art gallery, writing poetry, drawing, sitting over a long lunch with friends. Do you know, in the latest Women's Weekly, Nigella Lawson says baking to her is therapy. How crazy is that? But it's to her, it's therapy. But if you're a guy, perhaps you're a petrol head. Perhaps you like restoring cars. I know David does. Loves it. Perhaps you went to the Speedway last night at Eastern Springs. And what about gardening? I know people in our church garden. They love gardening. They grow vegetables. And they give them to the church, put them in the garage sale. And I think that's so wonderful, because God is a giver. And I think giving nurtures our souls too. And God so loved the world that he gave. So we know God is first of all a giver. So we take the hallmark of God when we give. So to conclude, we need to be proactive. Doesn't necessarily just happen. We need to take opportunities and be deliberately creative and intentional in those spheres of interest. Whatever nurtures your soul or mine, brings you fulfillment, will prosper you and feed into your spirit, enabling a stronger and more flourishing intimate relationship with God. Amen. We're going to listen to a music clip now, so I invite you just to close your eyes and let this music wash over you. It's a beautiful old hymn.